Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Brenda. I lead the Hollywood House Church with my husband, Albert. Let me open us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the delight and freedom that new life in Jesus brings. Thank you for the joy of sins forgiven, for meaning and purpose in our lives, for the hope of heaven and for the family of faith into which we've been adopted by your grace. Forgive us when we do not reflect this joy in our daily lives. Please make us distinctive in a world of bitterness and grumbling. And we ask this so that Jesus might be seen and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, I will take us through John 8, 12 to 30. Let's read the verses together. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whomever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, Therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour has yet to come. So today, for my sharing, I'd like to focus on three keywords. So the first one, I wanted to look at the word light. I wanted to find out the significance of light in the Bible context and in the worldly context. I did some research. The word light was mentioned in the Bible for over 200 times. It was referred as creation and order. So of course, light is the first act of action by God in Genesis 1, signifying God's bringing order out of chaos and establishing a separation between good versus evil. And also, it represents the nature of God. So light is synonymous with God's essence. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is in 1 John 1:5. And of course, as in this verse, Jesus as the light. In this verse, Jesus revealed the light of the world, bringing spiritual truth, salvation, and life to humanity. Also, it was referred as guidance and truth. God's word is described as a light that guides believers in Psalm 119, providing wisdom and direction. And it's also transformation and holiness. Walking in the light means following Jesus, living in holiness and being transformed from sin, as noted in 1 John 1:7 and Ephesians 5:8. And last but not least, believers like ourselves are also light. Christians are commanded to be light bearers, reflecting God's truth and good works in a dark world. This was mentioned in Matthew 5 and Philippians 2. So that's in the Bible context. I think in the worldly context, we all know light is essential to any shape or form of life on earth. It provides energy for plants to grow, which form the basis of the food chain. And it regulates ecosystem, shape animal behaviors. It provides warmth and it enables vision, and influencing the development and survival of almost all living organisms. And if I look at my own daily life, I think for people who have kids like me, having the nightlight on before going to bed is very important. I always had to argue with my kids how dim or how bright the nightlight has to be just before we pray and send them to bed. If you are in my age, if you are in a very dim restaurant or bar, and when you're about to order food or drinks on the menu with very small text, that's the time you take out your phone and turn on the flashlight, right? So basically, I think it's established that light is essential for us. Light is good and light is essential. We cannot live without light. We should all go after light. And the second portion or second keywords that I want to look into is darkness. I think many people like myself, when you think of darkness, you think about some very serious sins like lying, killing, stealing. But I think in this passage, it's more referring to spiritual blindness. So if we look at the passage, the Pharisees immediately challenge Jesus. They question his authority, his testimony, and his origin. But I think there's something quite important here. Is the Pharisees actually religious experts? They know all the scriptures. They know all the law. But still, they're in darkness because they don't know who Jesus is. Jesus says in verse 19, "You know neither me nor my Father." The darkness here is not ignorance of religious facts because they're all experts. It's more referring to the distance from God. Darkness is thinking you see clearly while you are actually being blind. I think that is one of the most dangerous forms of darkness. Being close to religious activities, but far from transformation. Hearing Jesus' words, but refusing his authority. Knowing about the light without ever stepping into it. Darkness resists exposure. That is why the Pharisees argue instead of listening. The light threatens their control, their pride, and their certainty. I think we should also ask ourselves honestly, where do we resist the light because it disrupts our life? I think it is so common to have all the head knowledge of what to do and what shouldn't we do, yet we're not applying this knowledge into our actions because of convenience or just having a stronghold in our hearts. Lastly, I wanted to talk about the keyword follow. This is the most important part of this passage. When Jesus says, "Whomever follows me will not walk in darkness." So let's pay attention to the word follow. It is a verb, right? So it is an action. Jesus didn't say, "Whomever admire me will not walk in darkness." Jesus did not say, "Whomever agrees with me will not walk in darkness." Jesus also didn't say, "Whoever occasionally consults me would not walk in darkness." So follow is an action, it's active, ongoing commitment. Following means movement, not be stagnant. Following means obedience, not convenience. Following means trust, even when the path is unclear. I remember, I think it was PSAM's message that we talk about the sheep that falling into off the cliff, the herd behavior. I think it can be a good behavior when we are following Jesus. So light only helps us if we walk in it. You can stand next to a light and still remain in the shadows. You can hear Jesus speak and still refuse to move. The Pharisees hear Jesus, but they do not follow. As a result, they remain in darkness, confident, religious, but lost. This is where we don't want to be. Let me close with the last point or the last questions. Let's ask ourselves, are we near the light or are we following it? Are we letting his words challenge our assumptions? Letting his truth expose hidden places? Are we letting his direction shape our daily steps? We cannot follow Jesus and cling to darkness at the same time. But if you follow him, even imperfectly, you will not walk alone. Because the light does not just show the way, the light walks with you. So today, hear his words again. I am the light of the world. And then do the one thing that makes all the difference. Follow him. I'd like to invite the worship leader to start playing in the background. I can share a prayer to close my message today. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Shining to the hidden corners of our hearts, expose our fears, and guide our steps. Help us to trust your word and walk in your truth, not seeking human praise, but your will. Free us from habits and relationships that keep us away from your light, and give us courage to follow you even when it's costly. Fill us with your presence so our lives reflect your glory and others may see and believe. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.